And I'm pleased to welcome my guest this afternoon. It's Pastor Mark Topp from the Storehouse Church here in Dorchester. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good, Seth?
Yeah, good. Thanks very much.
Now, you're an old hand at this, really, aren't you?
I am, yeah. It's been a little while since I've been in the studio, though, so yeah. Thank you for having me back.
Pleasure. How long has it been, do you think?
I think it was last summer, just before I went on sabbatical, the last time I was in. So, I'm back now.
And you've been busy. What's been going on, Mark?
Oh, lots of stuff been going on. So I was on sabbatical. So a sabbatical is like a 3-month extended break. So not everyone gets them. And I was very pleased to be offered one by my church. And I took it. Came back in September. After visiting lots of places, I travelled. I went to Austria for a week, which was beautiful. Can recommend Vienna as one of the capitals to go and visit. It's absolutely gorgeous. So I've been back since September and back into the swing of things in church. It's kind of non-stop since then, really, so it's been really good.
Now, you're going up to Parliament soon, aren't you?
I am, yeah. So, up to Parliament. I've been invited by Churchworks, which is an organisation across multiple church denominations, and been recognised for the work that we've done with our food larder and our mental health first aid training. So it's going to be, I think, about the fifth time I've been to Parliament in the last 2-3 years. So, it's just quite incredible, really. Pastor from a relatively small church in Dorchester getting these opportunities to go up to Parliament. Last time I was up there, it was the day before Rishi called the general election. I did have a joke at church on that Sunday when I got back to say, if only I'd known, I would have put a bet on, only joking. And of course, obviously, all the MPs that got sacked for actually putting a bet on. We go.
Nothing to do with you.
Nothing to do with me, not at all. So
just have interest. What's it like in Parliament? What's it like in it? It must be huge, isn't it?
It's absolutely massive. You hear that saying that you can like feel the powers of like in the corridor of the room, like you literally can. Decisions are being made there. It's huge. It's a massive operational machine. And then there's the difference of kind of like the newer modern parts of the Parliament houses that have been built, plus then the old kind of historical parts. Having been able to go in and see Parliament actually sit in session has been an incredible honour. Went into the House of Lords last time I was up there as well. So seen them both, been around there, and it is incredible. So
A lot of security, I imagine, around there. And
absolutely, huge amount of security. So kind of getting ready to go in again with all the bits and pieces that I need, ID, and making sure I don't take the things that I'm not allowed to take into Parliament.
That wouldn't look good, would it?
No, not at all. So pastor gets arrested for taking something and he shouldn't, so no, not going to happen. So
Tell us about the food larder.
Yeah, so our community larder. So we started this, and kind of how our connection with you guys really started, really, all those years ago during the lockdown when we were doing the food parcels. We changed after lockdown to a community larder. So in the last 3 years, so 23 and 24, we've done 3.9. Tons of food donations in 2022. 2023 we did 5.4 tons, and last year we did over 11 tons worth of food donations across our four community food larders. We have two in Dorchester at my church, the Storehouse Church, one at St George's, and then one in St Mary's at Winterbourne Abbas, and then one at Crossways at Manor Kitchen. So across the four food larders over last year, we did 11 tons worth of food and drink donations.
That's just like a huge amount, isn't it?
It's phenomenal. It's non-stop. It really is.
Yeah, and it's just going up all the time, I suppose.
Going up all the time. You can see from the last 3 years how much it's gone up. The jump from 2023 to last year, 5.5 tons to over 11 tons. The need is getting greater. We have incredible links through Neighbourly, which is a food scheme. We collect food, the baked goods from Lidl's, on a Monday and a Wednesday night, ready for our tea and coffee morning. which is open in my church on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 till 12. We have a fridge and a freezer, which is open for people. So every donation that we receive, it's going out. And we want to reduce food waste, but also we want to help people who are struggling financially or caught up in food poverty. And one of the things that sets us apart from the other food provisions in the town, which the other churches are running and do an incredible job, is that we don't have a referral system. We don't want to let people have to jump through so many hoops to get the help. We want to reduce the stigma, and it's part of the reason why we do the mental health first aid training, because during lockdown when we saw this, we saw that food poverty, you scratch the surface of food poverty, there's obviously mental wellness issues behind that, and we don't want people to struggle. So we want to reduce all the stigma that's around there. I remember going into where the food bank is in Dorford a few years ago when my youngest boy had just been born, and I went into Registry's Birth just around the corner, and I walked into the church to go and see my friend who pastor of that church at the time, and I was shouted at, called at by one of the volunteers because she thought I was a dad asking, looking for food. And it made me feel that big, really small, but actually I was like, I'm not here for that, I'm here. So we want to reduce all of that, and we take all of that pressure, all of that kind of anxiety away, and people can just come in. They help themselves to a bag of food to last them for up to a week, and they get to choose what they want. We don't put anything in there. And so every donation that we get, every bit of money we get, goes to food shopping, goes to buying stuff that we need. And people come in because we've got some stuff for their dogs, so it's got dog food. And we try to at Christmas, mince pies and chocolates. It's Easter in a few weeks' time, so we'll be getting Easter eggs, so making sure that everyone gets something for their family and friends that they're getting for. So, yeah.
And I take it as a real cross-section of society as well that you've got coming
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not what people may expect.
Not what people expect. And the fact that also we have our tea and coffee morning, we're registered as a warm welcome space, so people can come in during the winter months. Obviously, it's just turned to spring now, but it's still quite frosty in the morning, so it's not as warm yet as we would hope it to be. But we have the warm welcome space, we have the tea and coffee morning, so we have a place where people can feel that they can be part of something, have a bit of friendship. We had some games we were playing the other day. We were playing Connect Four. I'm on a bit of an unbeaten run at Connect Four at the moment with the people at the tea and coffee morning. So any challenges there that want to come and give it to me, then
I like a game at Connect Four.
Yeah, so it was great. And so we're just doing bits and pieces like that, but it's a place where people can come and feel safe. And one of the biggest things around mental wellness is isolation. And we've just talked, haven't we, with Becky about getting a drive-in license. Like, one of the things that we struggle with in this part of the world, if you can't get out and you're isolated, that affects your mental wellness. That affects how you feel, what you can do and where you can go and enjoy the hobbies and stuff that you do. So even people just come in locally, somewhere which is warm, they can get a tea and coffee free of charge. It creates a space where they can have a bit of friendship and not feel so lonely and isolated. So that's what we do it for.
Yeah, all of that is important, isn't it? They're having a chat with somebody, striking a friendship. It's all important.
All of that stuff. It's the first steps when we help people. So when we do our mental health first aid training, one of the biggest things is around how do you talk to people? How do you help that person? And that person, you might find them in the crisis and you signpost them to professional help. But if that person is on a journey and they're struggling with something, and before they spiral into that crisis, just having a chat with someone, talking to someone, easing their burdens by sharing what's going through, it creates a safe place for people to talk, and that's what we want to do.
Well, a lot of those old sayings, there's a lot of truth, like a problem shared is a problem halved, and
absolutely.
All that, isn't it? Yeah. And if people, I take it you're always looking for food donations. How do people go about donating?
Always looking for food donations. So people can just literally collect the stuff and we'll come and pick it up, or they can drop it off to us when we're open on a Tuesday and a Thursday, 10 till 12. They've got obviously collection points, so we collect from Lidl. So the big main collection point at Lidl's is for us as a organisation. So you can drop it off there. So we'll collect that either on a Monday night or a Wednesday when we collect the bread. We've just had a massive donation from Tesco's as well. So Tesco's are regularly supporting us as well. So there's lots of ways people can do it. And even if people don't have the food but had the cash, they can bring the cash in, and it's all accounted for through our treasure. We've had an amazing couple that used to collect food for us, but because of their health needs, they can't do it. So they've said, oh, can we give you the cash instead? I said, yes, please. So they've put in our bank account every month £200 for us to go and do a shop. Wow. So
that's very generous, isn't it?
It is incredibly generous. But when you think about it, £200 sounds a lot. But when you do a shop for that amount, actually, and it goes out probably within a week after us receiving it. Yeah. So it is incredible. So we're always looking for donations, always looking for volunteers, people to come and help. So there's loads of ways to do that. So just pop in. Why don't you come to the storehouse on a Tuesday or a Thursday?
Well, a family of four will soon work through £200, won't they? You know?
Absolutely. They will go through that. And that's why we try and ask people. We limit them to one bag of kind of the main items just to help. But when we have excess bread or veg or fruit and stuff that we pick up from Sainsbury's in Weymouth or from other places, they take as much as that as you want, because that's going to go out and go off, and we want to reduce food waste. So if you're going to use it, you're going to eat it, then please take it. But if there's any of like the ambient stuff or the kind of the long life stuff, we're just asking them to take a bag's worth, which will last them a week, hopefully.
It's good to know that the big supermarkets are helping out like the...
Yeah, it's amazing. We have an incredible relationship with Natalie, the community champion at Tesco's. We got £500 from them last year. We were in their blue token scheme. Yeah. They do an incredible job for us. A couple of years ago, she organised a big collection with the football club. So they did one big drive one Saturday and collected loads of food for us, and we went and picked it up. So it's amazing what people do. So it's incredible.
It's good to know people are generous.
Yes, Peter, we have been blown away. So all of that food, all of those donations are primarily people's donations that they've given us. We can break it down. I've got all the facts, all the figures, how much of that is the bread that we collected from Lidl's on those days, but a lot of it is from people just donating generously, which is just incredible.
And you mentioned just before we came on there that there's like first aid training you're doing.
Yes, yeah. A mental health first aid training. So we that's kind of one of the reasons why we myself has been connected with Churchworks, because of the work that we've done with mental health first aid and with the food larder, helping people in food provision. So we've trained over 200 people in the last 2 years in mental health first aid, including Weymouth Street pastors and Dorchester retail chaplains recently. And so it's been incredible just to help train people up in supporting people going through a mental health crisis.
So we know roughly what first aid, what does mental health first aid, if it's not a daft question, what sort of things would they be doing?
Yes, so mental health first aid, so everyone has mental health, regardless of where you think they are. And one of the things you said about just about the food larder, people coming in, you wouldn't expect them to come across all parts of society in the same way that mental health doesn't discriminate, just as health doesn't discriminate if you have poor health. So you could have people with diagnosed or undiagnosed mental wellness conditions. I like to use the term mental wellness as opposed to mental illness, because the minute you say mental illness, people jump to in their mind a picture of something that could be very traumatic or very just not very nice for people struggling. So we all have mental wellness. And so the training that we provide is to help people that are in a crisis, and that could be for a number of reasons. So we cover the whole breadth across, depending on which course you do. So I can train people up in a little mini medics course for children struggling with their mental wellness, all the way from levels 1, 2, and 3. And level 3 is kind of like the mental health at work training, first aid training, and that covers you from kind of your stress, depression, anxiety, which are probably the most three common ones, all the way through to all the major conditions such as bipolar, schizophrenia, and all those kind of things and stuff like that. So lots of stuff that we cover.
Yeah, you've keeping very busy.
Yeah, I'm very busy. I'm my own worst enemy, apparently, according to some people, but that's what I do. I like to keep busy, so yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're meant to be doing, I think.
I think so, yeah. And so helping people, and it's amazing that when you train people up in mental health first aid, you don't realise the impact that it makes, because actually within my church we have 9 people trained up in mental health first aid. We're a church of just probably about 50 if everyone turns up on a Sunday. But to have nearly 20% of the church trained up in mental health first aid means that whatever we have on in the week, hopefully someone in that group is trained to spot someone in a crisis, to help, to signpost to professional help, but also to be there to support people. And we're going to add hopefully soon more to that. So we've just had a couple recently join us who are trained art teachers, and we're going to offer art therapy as a response to people struggling with their mental wellness, because there's lots of funding available for that, but also it's a great way to reach people, to have a network of friends, a group, create a new hobby, learn a new hobby, and also it's an incredible way for us as a church to reach a community in a practical way, and show them the love of God without it being weird and wacky. So
that sounds like a great idea. I can see how art would be very beneficial.
Yeah, yeah, and coming, if you look at the Bible, God knows what he's doing when he's creating the heavens and the earth, and it's called creation's his masterpiece, so he knows what he's doing when it comes to art.
Right, well, thank you for coming in today. Will you come in more often and
absolutely
keep us up to date?
Please, yeah, please do invite me in. I'd love to come in. And our local MP is connecting with me at the Church Works event, so Ed Morello is going to be with us then and coming to see what we do later on in April, so it's going to be great to connect with him as well. So.
Okay, well, as you're going to Parliament, it'd be interesting to see what happens this time, you know.
Yeah, I don't think Keir Starmer's going to call an election after when I've been in, so yeah, I don't think he's ready for that yet.
Okay, well, thanks for now, Mark.
Thank you so much.